Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour, Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 26, 2014. The 30th day of the 4th lunar month, 2018. We will start our second service on this 7th day Sabbath of the song entitled The Pearly White City. There's a holy and beautiful city whose builder and ruler is Yah. Come saw it descending from heaven when Patmos in exile he trod. Its high massive wall is of jasper. The city itself is pure gold, and when my frail tent head is folded, I shall its glory behold. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I am waiting, watching and longing for the white city, John Saul coming down. No sin is allowed in that city, and nothing befalling nor mean. No pain and no sickness can enter, no crape on the doorknob is seen. Her sorrows and cares are forgotten, no tempter is there to ignore. No parting words ever are spoken. There's nothing to hurt and destroy. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city, John Saul coming down. No heartaches are known in that city, no tears ever moisten the heart. There's no disappointment in heaven, no envy and strife in the sky. The saints are all sanctified, holy. They live in sweet harmony there. My heart is now set on that city, and someday its blessings I'll share. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city, John Saul coming down. My loved ones are gathering yonder, my friends too are passing away, and soon I shall join the bright number and dwell in eternity's day. They're safe now in glory with Yahshua. Their trials and battles are past. They overcome sin and the tempter. They've reset their city at last. In that bright city, early bright city, have a mansion, the harp and her crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city, dance all coming down. Part 6, we're dealing with the Elijah David restores everything. We're reading from the White House recruiter by the V.T. Hollifer on page 40. And we're going to start with the last paragraph of page 39, do a little review. It says that to safeguard from the corruption his jewels, Malachi 3:17, while making them up, he sits them in a house white and clean, apart from the counterfeit ones, the hypocrites. Now, what is this house? This is the house of heaven. This is the house of David. The Bible calls it the house of David. This is the everlasting kingdom of heaven. This is this white house that's clean, that's been set up here, right here in our midst. Okay, this he does as the parabolical day draws unto his close. Consequently, the 11th hour servants, meaning the last ones that are called at work in the vineyard in the 12th parabolic hour, are the first to receive the reward. Okay, so when the judgment starts, the judgment of living starts, that's when the laborers get their reward. They start getting their reward right then. That's what the judgment is all about. That's what the judgment's all about. Is starts separating the good from the bad, and the good ones, they get paid right then and there. They get paid eternal life. Okay. So it says, they live on to meet their Elohim, their Yahshua, to hear him speak unto them the thrilling commendation. So after they get their reward of a penny a day, then it says they live on. From that point on, meaning that they get the reward at the beginning of the 12th hour, the first fruits of the harvest, they get their reward right there. I'm going to tell you, I feel so bad for Gilead Center when I think about this. How they had it in their grasp. They were living the experimental life of being in a kingdom of a sort. They were what Brother Johnson called that the kingdom of heaven at Gilead Center. Okay. And so we were teaching the judgment. We were teaching the judgment. But what was so wrong with it all was Brother Johnson teaching that we were in the judgment day by day. That the judgment had already opened, and we were in it. But not so. Yeah, we were in the judgment all right. But we were not... We were not at the end of the judgment for the dead. That's what we were in. Because when we step out of the judgment of the dead, we have to step into the judgment of the living. That's when the separation of the good and the bad takes place. Okay, and that was starting at the Passover 2002. It says after the first ones receive their pay, they live on to meet their Yahshua and hear him speak unto them the thrilling commendation. So you see, we get our reward and then we live on to meet him Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy master. Matthew 25:21. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is Elham, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Yahshua, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Isaiah 25:9. Whereas the servants of the previous calls wait in the grave to come forth at the resurrection day for the joining of the living in this transporting of the antiphonal, of course, and for the receiving of their penny pay, eternal life. Thus, the last shall be first and the first last, Matthew 20:16. The last group, the servants of the 12th hour, now let's do that again. Now the last group, the servants of the 11th hour. And that's who we were, and but not are now. We are servants of the 12th hour, but we were the servants of the 11th hour, because that's the hour that we were prepared in for our ministry in the 12th hour. Now keep in mind, all of those labors that were called at five different times in history to work in their particular hours designated for them, they always worked in the hour preceding their designated hours to work in. They always worked in the one before, preparing them to take up their work in the next hour. It's always been the case. Okay, Moses, he worked in the 12th hour, the last hour of the night, when he was herding sheep for 40 years in Midian. That was his, he was working in the 12th hour, herding sheep. But when the first hour came, succeeding the 12th hour, the last hour of the night, and as soon as the first hour began, Moses took up his work anew, headed for Egypt, and not herding sheep anymore, headed for Egypt now, on his second phase and the second step of his work. That was in the first hour of the day. That's when the sun began to come up. That's the first hour of the day. That's when Moses went down to take up his work. And so at the closing of the 12th hour in Moses' day, he entered upon the first hour as it was dawning toward the first day of the morning that was to bring the children of Israel after the Passover on the 15th day, as it was dawning toward the 16th day of the first month down in Egypt. Moses brought the children of Israel out. And when did they leave out? At the end of the 12th hour, what they call midnight. Okay, today we understand midnight to be the 12th hour, and so Yahweh allows history to record it that way so we can understand it in the language that we are familiar with. So, 12 o'clock midnight? Okay. But I dare say the 12th hour of the night is your last hour of the night before the sun comes up in the morning. In other words, between 5 and 6 o'clock on your time clock, you have the 12th hour. When the first hour strikes, it means it's 6 o'clock. It has just closed out 12 hours of the night. Okay, now it says, thus the last shall be first, and the first last. Matthew 20:16. The last group, the servants of the 11th hour, they're paid first. So, this is true. As soon as the 11th hour ended, Yahshua called Detton Brunken. He says, your name is no longer Detton Brunken, since Elijah David. He said, you get your pay first. He said, now learn the parable of the Matthew of the 20, or the parable of the five groups of laborers. And as soon as you learn their time, places, faces, and dates when they came on the scene, he said, then you are to teach that and teach them how they're to get their pay in order back down the line, starting with those that work with you in the 11th hour. Those that work with me in the 11th hour was Brother Johnson, and all of those that joined the 11th hour congregation, Gilead Center, from 1970 to 2003, that was your 11th hour people. Whether they were workers or laity or just members of the church, occupying a pew, nevertheless, they were members of the 11th hour apostolic congregation at Gilead Center. And they're the ones we're talking about here. They're the ones that get their pay. But Yahshua, give me my commission. I took the mantle from Brother Johnson, and then Yahshua turned around and pronounced woe upon the servant that he took the mantle from, Brother. And he separated Elijah David from his 33-year-long friend, Brother Stevie Johnson. And the one moved on and the other stayed behind. The one that stayed behind was judged by the one that moved on. Okay? Let us continue on. All who have pursued these pages unto this point have surely become aware of the fact that even this very restricted representation of the additional message, that of the judgment of the living, gives in itself tremendous power and force unto the three angels' messages. Early Writings, page 277. Okay, but in what way is it to give absolute power and force unto them? First, by bringing unto the light the heretofore unrevealed aspects of the judgment, and then subsequently by the freeing of the Elohim's people from both sin and sinners, thereby bringing into the existence the long-looked-for purified church that looked forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. Song of the Solomon 6:10, Prophets and Kings 7:25. A veritable powerhouse indeed. Thus clad in the complete armor of the light and righteousness, she enters upon her final conflict, polished to shine as an emblem of the heaven, radiating in all directions of the bright, clear beams of the Son of the Righteousness, Testimonies, Ministries 17. This is the glory of the Elohim, which closes the work of the third angel, Testimonies, Volume 6, page 19. These challenging facts are a mighty rebuke unto those who may have long neglected their Elohim-given duty for the educating both of the ministry and laity, to expect, watch for, and upon sight gladly welcome the additional message, that of the 12th hour. Yahshua says 11th hour here, but now that we're in the 12th hour and have identified the 12th hour as the last hour, to take the place of the 11th hour that Yahshua taught was the last hour, had they been faithful under their trust, they would now recognize the message that is knocking at their door as that long-awaited one, and would know it is the one variously designated, number one, the judgment of the living, number two, the harvest, number three, the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, number four, the loud cry, as the message lightens the earth with the glory of the Yahshua's righteousness beaming from the 144,000 guileless servants of the Elohim. And accordingly, they would know that it is thus that the Yahshua will sift the nations, Isaiah 30, verse 28, finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, Romans 9, 28. That's exactly what he's doing right now. Yahshua has taken the reins in his own hands. He did this about 12 years ago, 2002, and he has been since cutting the work short in righteousness, in that he's bringing all these prophecies fast to their fulfillment to cause the wicked to come forward, because he is gathering all nations where they're at. All nations are coming against each other doing their work of destruction, destroying each other and destroying much human life. This is Yahshua's direction. He's allowing the enemies to concern themselves with his chosen Jerusalem and his chosen people and Israel. He's allowing all the nations to concern themselves with it and to work for Israel's demise. And one by one, they are lining up, showing what's in their hearts. They don't want unity with Israel. They don't want to share a homeland with Israel, the Palestinians. They just want the whole land of Israel to finish destroying. Look at Gaza today, the city of Gaza, a big piece of ground that Jerusalem gave to the Palestinians, to see if they couldn't prove themselves to build a big city and to be able to have their own sovereign government and to rule and run it on their own. No, they have proven that they can't even plant a garden to even feed themselves. They can't put up hot houses. They can't do farming. They can't do nothing. All they do is sit back and wait for the charity wagons to come in from the United States and other countries. They have to give them their money to buy food with. They're not industrious. The average salary for an Israelite in Israel per person is $30,000 a year. The average salary for a Palestinian a year is $1,000. The rest of it he gets in just handout donations you give me, mostly from the United States. And that's billions of dollars. And what they do, instead of spending that money upon food and comfort, they build it on weaponry, armaments, bullets, bombs. And they dig tunnels. And they have an underground network of highways and so forth underneath the ground, and they have tunnels leading out of their homes underneath the ground. Every home has a tunnel practically coming out of it, going underground. And they can't do anything. They figure out how to attack Israel from the blind side, and they have to get all the nations supplying their monies and their artillery and so forth and sending these people. And then teaching them how to shoot them. These people don't know how to even make a good wheelbarrow. They don't even know how to dig a hole and plant a seed to watch something grow. They're not capable of anything but just cowardly attacking people from the blind side, and especially Israel. That's all they can do. And then when they get caught up with, they break and run and flee like rats off a ship. Okay, let's continue on. But despite their dereliction of the duty and consequent blindness, inspiration is anxiously endeavoring to alert them to what it long ago faithfully forewarned. For the time past has shown that both teachers and students know very little in regard unto the awful truths which are living issues for this time. Should the third angel's message be proclaimed in all lines, to many who stand as educators, it would not be understood by them. Testimony, Volume 6, page 165. Books and papers that contain little of present truth are exalted, and men are becoming too wise to follow a thus saith Yahweh. Many of the watchmen are asleep. They are as the blind leading the blind. Yet the day of the Yahshua is right upon us. As a thief, it is coming with a stealthy tread, and it will take unawares all who are not watching. Who among our teachers are awake and as faithful stewards of the grace of the Elohim are giving the trumpet a certain sound? Testimony, Volume 6, page 166. For the present attitude of the church is not pleasing unto the other. There has come in a self-confidence that has led them to feel no necessity for the more truth and greater light. We are living at a time when the Satan is at work on the right hand and on the left, Before the behind us, we are living a time unless before the behind us. And yet, as a people, we are asleep. Elohim wills that a voice shall be heard, arousing his people to action. Well, this verse, this voice is shining to you today, and it is going to be heard, starting today. Okay, it says, that's Testimony Volume 5, page 709, Sister White's quote. A message that will arouse the church is to be proclaimed. Every effort is to be made to give the light not only unto our people, but unto the world. I have been instructed that the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation should be printed in the small book with the necessary explanation and should be sent all over the world. Our own people need to have the light placed before them in a clearer line. Testimonies, Message 117. For the rebuke of Yahweh will rest upon those who would bar the way, that the clearer light shall not come unto the people. A great work is to be done. And Elohim sees that our leading men have needed more light that they may, unite with the messengers whom he sends to accomplish the work that he designed shall be done. Gospel Workers, page 304. I saw angels hurrying to and fro in the heaven, descending unto the earth, and again ascending into heaven, preparing for the fulfillment of some important event. Then I saw another mighty angel commissioned to descend unto the earth to unite his voice with the third angel and give power and force unto his message. Great power and glory were imparted unto the angel. And as he descended, the earth was lightened with his glory. The work of this angel comes in at the right time to join in the last great work of the third angel's message as it swells into a loud cry. For this message seemed to be an addition unto the third message, joining it as the midnight cry joined the second angel's message in 1844, early writings, page 277. To souls that are earnestly seeking for the light and that accept with the gladness every ray of the divine illumination from His holy word, to such alone light will be given. It is through these souls that the Elohim will reveal that light and power which will lighten the whole earth with His glory. Testimony Volume 5, page 729. In the manifestation of the power that lightens the earth with His glory, they will see only something which in their blindness they think dangerous, something which will arouse their fears, and they will brace themselves to resist it because Yahshua does not work according unto their expectations and ideas. They will oppose the work. Why, they say, should we not know the Spirit of Elohim when we have been in the work so many years? Review and Herald, November 7, 1918. It says, brightness, glory, and power are to be connected with the third angel's message, and conviction will follow wherever it is preached and the demonstration of the Spirit. How will any of our brethren know when this light shall come unto the people of Elohim? As yet we have certainly not seen the light that answers unto this description. Elohim has light for his people, and all who accept it will see the sinfulness of the remaining in a lukewarm condition. Review and Herald, April 1, 1890. Unless those who can help in the Austin, Texas area are aroused unto a sense of their duty, they will not recognize their work of the Elohim when the loud cry of the third angel shall be heard. When the light goes forth to lighten the earth, instead of coming up unto the help of Yahweh, they will want to bind about His work to meet their narrow ideas. Let me tell you that the Yahweh will work in this last work in a manner very much out of the common order of things, and in a way that will be contrary unto any human plan. There will be those among us who will always want to control the work of the Elohim, to dictate even what movements shall be made when the work goes forward under the direction of the angel, who joins the third angel in the message to be given unto the world. Elohim will use ways and means by which it will be seen that he has taken the reins in his own hand, for the workers will be surprised by the simple means that he will use to bring about and perfect his work of the righteousness. Testimonies Ministries, page 300. I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen, and it was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness unto the later sin. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver and will lead him to exalt the standard and pour forth the straight truth. Some will not bear this straight testimony. They will rise up against it, and this is what will cause a shaking among Elohim's people. I saw the testimony of the true witness has not been half-heeded, for the solemn testimony upon which the destiny of the church hangs has been lightly esteemed, if not entirely disregarded. This testimony must work deep repentance. All who truly receive it will obey it and be purified. They will question and criticize everything that arises in the unfolding of the truth, criticize the work and position of others, criticize every branch of the work in which they have not themselves a part. They will feed upon the errors and mistakes and faults of the others, until, said the angel, the Yeshua Messiah shall rise up from his mediatorial work in the heavenly sanctuary, and shall clothe himself with the garments of the vengeance, and surprise him at their unholy feast, and they will find themselves unprepared for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Their taste has been so perverted that they would be inclined to criticize even the table of the Yeshua and his kingdom. Testimony of Divine Pattern 5, page 690. And as never before, we should pray not only that the laborers may be sent forth into the great harvest field, but that we may have a clear conception of the truth, so that when the messengers of the truth shall come, we may accept the message and respect the messenger. Testimony, Volume 6, page 420. Prophecy must be fulfilled. The Yahshua says, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the other. Somebody is to come in the spirit and power of Elijah, and when he appears, men may say, you are too earnest. You do not interpret the scriptures in the proper way. Let me tell you how to teach your message. Testimony by the ministers, page 475. For worse or for better, brethren, you are now in the blazing light of Elohim's word, left to make your own decision, whatever it be, though you will never have a just cause, either to exalt or to blame another for it. For the responsibility is now entirely yours. If your choice be before the worst, then to repeat as soon as the oil in your lamps is spent, as soon as the message of the judgment of the dead is passed, and the judgment of the living about to commence, you will find yourselves in the dense spiritual darkness, and your lamps burned out to the last flicker, and with no extra oil in your vessel, with neither knowledge nor preparation for the judgment of the living, therefore spewed out. And I got written 2002. This is who he's talking to Gilead Center here. They were spewed out in 2002. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of the darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Matthew 6:23. It says that if you fail now to store up this extra oil of the truth, you will in a little while, with a naked terror, see the need of it. But when this terrifying realization bursts upon you, it will be in the utter vain, for by the time you make a move to get the oil and to go the rest of the way, then as sure as you live, the door will swing shut and all your faint knuckle-knocking at it will but quickly bring the faithful, rueful answer from within. Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Matthew 25:12. And oh, what a measureless, wordless tragedy that will be, brethren. But if you make your decision for the better, then you will receive Elihan's mark, Ezekiel 9, Testimonies, Ministers 4:45. In your foreheads, be accounted faultless before his judgment throne, and be privileged either to come up in the resurrection of the Daniel 12:2, or to stand aforehand with the Lamb on the Mount Zion, Revelation 14:1. Since to carry Elihan's message unto all nations, and bring all your brethren for an offering unto the house of the Yahweh, Isaiah 66:19-20, you will become part of the first fruits, the nucleus of the kingdom church, the token of the second fruits of the living, of those whom you subsequently bring in as the present truth adherents in the first fruit period. May Elohim help us all, brother, sister, to be either among or along with the first fruits, 144,000. For it is left unto every one himself to determine his own destiny, and of this be certain, that the only unerring way of achieving eternity is in the hearing and in the following of the Elohim's voice, in the making your decision in the closet of the secret prayer, and in abounding in the close and reverent study of the revealed truth for this particular time. Whereas the surest way of the erring and of the losing out is to give ear unto the voice of the man and the place of the voice of the Elohim. Of still further importance is the truth that the 11th hour call finds its laborers standing idle in the marketplace, the church doing nothing, their excuse being, no man hath hired us. In view of these facts, it is manifest that the 11th hour servants are not made up of the ministry, not of those already at work, no more than were the servants of the previous call. For the history bears the proof that virtually only the idle ones, the laity, ever responded first unto any divine call. And the last solemn work declares the spirit of the prophecy, few great men will be engaged there. Sufficient, they are self-sufficient, independent of Elohim, and he cannot use them, or Yeshua, or the Yahweh has a faithful servant who, in the shaking testing time, will be disclosed to you. There are precious ones now hidden who have not bowed the knee to Baal. They have not had the light which has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you. When trees without fruit are cut down as the cumbers of the ground, when the multitudes of the false brethren are distinguished from the true, then the hidden ones will be revealed to view, and with the hosannas range under the banner of the Yeshua, those who have been timid and self-distrustful will declare themselves openly for the Yeshua and his truth, for the most weak and hesitating in the church will be as the David, willing to do and dare, Testimonies, Volume 5, page 80-81. For the statements will be disclosed of you, precious ones now hidden, and hidden ones will be revealed unto the view, nakedly unveil the fact that although the servants of the 11th hour, those that are called to work in the 12th hour, are not now men of prominence, and not persons now generally known, they will nevertheless assuredly come into their own finally. This work of Yahshua's righteousness, brethren, will not appear so strange a thing to you when you consider that every male, save two over 20 years of age in the Exodus movement, after it crossed the Red Sea, perished in the doubts or in the fault finding against it. The inspiration are in the office-seeking, are in craving for the flesh pots of the Egypt, and that only the youth of the movement lived to cross the Jordan and to possess the promised land. These things, remember, happened under them for an example, for the types, to admonish us now in the end of the world. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Of those who are to escape and to be disposed of you, in the antithetical Exodus movement, inspiration joyfully declares they are men wondered at. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as the David, and the house of David shall be as the Elohim, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Zechariah 3:8, 12:8. Obviously, these men wondered at the escape and disclosed to view at the 11th hour. And, of course, we know that this is the 12th hour, so we'll call it the 12th hour from now on. Are the servants who make up the long looked for layman's movement, Testimonies, Volume 9, page 125 and 126. For the 11th hour is therefore the time unto which the spirit of prophecy points when it says, in the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged. The Elohim will work their work in our day that the few anticipate. He will raise up and exalt among us those who are taught rather by the unction of His Spirit than by the outward training of the scientific institution. So the Elohim will manifest that He is not dependent on the learned, self-important mortals. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80-82. Indeed, how could it possibly be otherwise unless learned? Great men either humbly descend or never ascend. That man exalted, that Elohim condemned throne upon which sit the mighty who never accept unpopular truth, and who ever keep others from doing so, unless it finds its origin in themselves. What is more, only the foolish never, the truly great and wise, assume to amount. I assume unto the mount that Elohim's forbidden seat of the self-importance. For the truly great know this. They know, too, that the Elohim has never once been able to use the so-called great, the popular, as instrumentalities through whom to reveal and disseminate fresh truth. Rather, we are told that the Holy Spirit will, from time to time, reveal the truth through its own chosen agency, and no man, not even a priest or ruler, has the right to say, you shall not give publicity unto your opinion, because I do not believe them. That wonderful eye may attempt to put down the Holy Spirit's teaching. Men may, for a time, attempt to smother it and kill it, but that will not make error truth or truth error. For the inventive minds of the men have advanced speculative opinions in the various lines, and when the Holy Spirit let light shine into the human minds, it does not respect every point of the man's application of the word. For the Elohim impressed his servant to speak the truth, irrespective of what men had taken for granted as the truth. Even the Seventh-day Adventists are in the danger of the closing of their eyes unto the truth as it is in the Yahshua, because it contradicts something which they have taken for the granted as the truth, which the Holy Spirit teaches is not the truth. Testimonies, Ministries, page 70. But beware rejecting that which is in the truth, for the great danger with our people has been that of the dependent upon men and making flesh their arm. Those who have not been in the habit of the searching of the Bible for themselves or weighing evidence have confidence in the leading men and accept the decisions they make, and thus many will reject the very messages Elohim sends unto his people if these leading brethren do not accept them. No one should claim that he has all the light there is for the Elohim people, for the Yahweh will not tolerate this. He has said, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Even if all our leading men should refuse light and truth, that door will still remain open. The Yahweh will raise up men who will give the people the message for this time. Testimonies and Ministries, page 106 and 107. Will you not now, brethren, quickly arise, or will you repeat the mistakes of the Joshua's day and let the youth take your place? For the Yeshua has appointed the youth to be his helping hand, Testimonies, volume 7, page 64. We have an army of the youth today who can do much if they are properly directed and encouraged. General Conference Bulletin, volume number 2, 24. With such an army of the workers as our youth, rightly trained, might furnish, how soon the message of a crucified, risen, and soon coming Savior might be carried unto the whole world, Education 271. Young men should search the scriptures for themselves. They are not to feel that it is sufficient for those older and the experienced to find out the truth, that the younger ones can accept it from them as the authority. For the Jews have perished as a nation because they were drawn from the truth of the Bible by their rulers, priests, and elders. Had they heeded the lessons of Yahshua and searched the scriptures for themselves, they would have not have perished. Young men in our ranks are watching to see in what spirit the ministers come unto the investigation of the scriptures, whether they have a teachable spirit and are humble enough to accept evidence and receive light from the messengers whom the Elohim chooses to send, Testimony, Message 109. Now that the 11th hour call is sounding for the workers in the 12th hour, the judgment of living time, the Yahshua is at the outset calling unto his vineyard all of the ministerial and Bible work candidates who are graduates or undergraduates of the Seventh-day colleges and who are standing idle waiting to be hired. In addition, he is calling up for this glorious final service all still able-bodied sustenance workers. Will you not, brethren, all of you, now respond unto this last and most glorious call? You can start out for the vineyard immediately after successfully completing an intensive 3-month seminary course of the study on the present truth, revelations which give power and force unto the third angel's message, early writings 277, and which unveil the judgment of the living, the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. You will need no money for the tuition for for room and board while taking the 3-month course at the Levitical Institute, Mount Carmel Center. See page 75 of this tract, and upon the completion of your studies, you will be given a permanent position with the wages, plus traveling expenses around the Seventh-day Adventist world first, then finally unto every nation throughout the whole vineyard of the Yahweh. This is the opportunity of a life to secure a place in the closing work for the church in the seeding time of the 144,000, Testimony, volume 3, page 266, and a subsequent place among those escaped ones who go forth to bring into the house of Yahweh, this is the house of David, all their brethren out of all nations, as the Isaiah vividly declares. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, unto Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, the Tubal, and Avan unto the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all nations, upon horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain, Yahrusim, saith Yahweh. that the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel in the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 66:19-20. Here the prophet envisions two companies of the saints, those who escape and those who are brought in by the escaped ones, by the 144,000. For the first group of the servants being the first fruits of the great harvest, then it is utterly inescapable in the logic that those whom they bring to the Yahweh are the second fruits. Indeed, where there is first, there must necessarily be the second. And the first and the second groups are exactly what John the Revelator saw, Revelation 7:3-9. Note that these are 12th hour servants who go unto all the nations to rescue all their brethren, bring them as in a clean vessel into the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 66:20. But we know that those that actually worked in the 11th hour Gilead Center has already been cut off, so we know that they're not going to go to carry the nation. So we have to teach this in the 12th hour as it means its fulfillment. Okay, it says, and a clean vessel into the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 66:20, into the purified church, the house of David, the church with no hypocrites to carry on their abominations in it, a house truly white. Do not, though, let anyone fool you into believing that the recruiter is calling you out of the Seventh-day Adventist denomination and into something else. Such allegations and insinuations come only from those who are enemies of the Elohim's 11th or judgment hour truth. Okay, so those who are enemies of the Elohim's 12th are judgment hour truth, and who are therefore neither his servants nor your friend. Elohim's servants get their orders from the Elohim, and friends are ever cautious not to push their friends into accepting propagated falsehood, especially when the scriptures are under the consideration. For the plain truth about the recruiter is that its mission is to make sure that you stay in the denomination and to keep you from being cast out, not by men, but by the Yahshua, when he proceeds to inspect the guests therein, and to cast out those who have failed to put on the wedding garment which the recruiter brings. For the wise will not let the enemies of the truth fool them, rather they will do their level best to disillusion these pretended friends and encourage them to let the recruiter anoint their eyes so that they may see that in that day shall the branch of the Yahweh be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel, Elohim's denomination of today. It shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion at the headquarters, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem in the church after the purification, shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When Yahshua shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of the judgment and by the spirit of the burning, and the Yahweh will create upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by the night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. There shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from rain. Isaiah 4:2-6. For the wicked shall no more pass through thee, he is utterly cut off. Nahum 1:15. Now that all these things are ready, brethren, this is your divine call at the 12th hour. Elohim forbid that you let slip away from you this never so precious opportunity to make your calling and election sure. 2 Peter 1:10. Act decisively, for the newly unsealed prophecy reveal that the work of the judgment of the dead is about over. Well, that this makes fulfillment 2002. So we're at the other on the other side of this judgment of the dead. Now we're in the judgment of the living. The very reason for this divinely planned and urgent call for service now, as this heavenly recruiter breaks through the iron-like barriers behind which the enemies of the truth hold Elohim's elect in the darkness and led us in blindness. By having instilled in rank and file throughout Laodicea an unprecedented fear and prejudice against reading or hearing anything but that which enjoys someone's official sanction and blessing, for the Satan's subversives have sought to sever the lines of the communication between the spirit of the truth and the people of the Elohim, then to hold them in the subjection to themselves and their worldly standards. They threaten with the disfellowshipment and perdition, and perdition any who, fearing Elohim more than man, would dare venture to know the truth for themselves. And the few who do have the courage to carry out their conviction straightway in the consequence become targets for the enemy's fiercest darts of the opposition, bitterest prejudice, scandalizing falsehood, and character defamation, ridicule, and scorn. Well, thank Yahweh, we don't have to put up with any more of this here false brethren in the church blaspheming the leadership and those who would hold on to the truth tenaciously, like we just got rid of. I'll tell you what, I've never been so tired of having somebody in your midst for 33 years that all they did was just put forth prejudice, scandalizing falsehood, and character defamation, ridicule, and scorn. That's essentially what we got out of Alan Long for 33 years. Okay, it says there's scorn and hatred, embarrassment and hardship. Thus all that will live righteous in the Yahshua Messiah, 2 Timothy 3:12, find themselves outcast, Isaiah 66:5, Luke 6:22, Acts 24:14, at the hands of the persecuted forces, perpetuating and even outdoing the worst that was ever in Judaism and Romanism. And what is still worse, when these revivalists of the tyranny, clothed in the apostle-like robes, succeed in confusing and overthrowing the faith of an investigator or of a follower of the truth for this very time, they compel him to submit to rebaptism in order to be readmitted into the church fellowship, even though he has become more faithful than ever before. What astounding blasphemy! Well, isn't that amazing that Alan DeLong called for a baptism, and he wanted to baptize Sharon, his new convert and friend, out of the Adventist Church, and she, I'm sure, had been baptized before. So that's what I just read to you. This brings the first verse, this hour, contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive to hear this message and more. We will close now with a song. Keep on believing. Sometimes the shadows gather and mist obscures the way. Sometimes the clouds grow heavy and darken all the way. How precious to remember our Father's loving care, that He still loves His children and He answers prayer. Keep on believing, God will answer prayer. Keep on believing, never despair. Oh, you be heavy laden and burdened down with care. Remember, Yah still loves you and He answers. this prayer. Sometimes the way is dreary, we seem to walk alone, forgetting that the Father, He's watched above His home. How many needless sorrows the faithless have to bear, for Yah still loves His children and He answers prayer. Keep on believing, Yah will answer prayer. Keep on believing, never despair. Though you be heavy laden and burdened down with care, remember Yah still loves you and He answers prayer. Sometimes our loving service seems destined but to fail. Evil's utter poison seems certain to prevail. How sweet the consolation for every load of care. Yah ever loves His children and He answers prayer. Keep on believing, Yah will answer prayer. Keep on believing, never despair. Though you be heavy laden and burdened down with care, remember Yah still loves you and He answers prayer. Oh, so weighed down with sorrow beneath the heavy load, remember Yah will help you however rough the road. His grace is still sufficient for every load of care. Yah ever loves His children and He answers prayer. Keep on believing, Yah will answer prayer. Keep on believing, never despair. Though you be heavy laden and burdened down with care, remember Yah still loves you and He answers prayer.